Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Sheep helping to control the sheep from Wisconsin Public Radio. 700 sheep and goats were arranged in the shape of a syringe to encourage vaccinations.
Sounds effective.
To encourage?
I mean, nothing really motivates me to change my behavior quite like arranging corpses.
Oh, no, these were live.
Oh, they were alive.
Live sheep, yes. Yeah.
Well, okay, that's actually kind of
impressive.
We'll
start talking about that, but also, if we get to it, a tech startup wants to gamify suing people using crypto tokens. And we could talk about that as well. If Peakless Mountaineer ever figures out what he wanted to talk about, we'll add that to the list. But let's since I started talking about the sheep and actually read the headline, it is from Wisconsin Public Radio. 700 sheep and goats were arranged in the shape of a syringe. And if you just type, you know, Wisconsin Public or WPR syringe, I think this image will come up. It is a image from the sky of roughly 700 sheep that are, I mean, they did a pretty good job of making it look like a syringe. They got the little plunger deal on the end of it and the point, the needle at the front of it and the midsection, you know.
Well, I got to say, that is about as coherent of an argument as any other for getting the vaccine.
It's a huge metaphor for what government is doing to people with their power grab amongst this bastardized
illness. Yeah, I
got to
say, like, of all the imagery choices, you chose sheep.
Because I know.
That's really the thing that the people not getting vaccinated want to be more like is sheep, you know. That's what they identify with. It's how they think of themselves as kind of a cattle that you can, you know, order around and train. And by showing that that's what you can get in line with the syringe, you know, it really speaks to them.
But instead of pieces of bread with people, they used Krispy Kreme donuts.
There is that.
Yeah, a free beer.
If the free donuts and the free beer and the massive multi-million dollar ad campaign. I mean, I got
let's
stuff
not forget
in the mail
the free
telling
marijuana.
Me about how important those
oh,
vaccines
I missed that
are.
One.
Let's not forget the free marijuana. There were some places offering
one.
A free doobie. Mm-hmm. I mean, joint marijuana cigarette. Thank you for the politically correct term in exchange for you getting, you know, the jab. The Jabberoonie.
One of these things is good for your health.
The Jablonski. That's what I should call it. The Jablonski. I don't know what a Jablonski is, but I think I've just renamed the Jab. Given it a full last name now. Nikki, you brought something in, and I'm just going to say, Russian feminist activist on trial for porn? Is that?
Yep.
Can you tell us more about this?
I sure can.
Because it sounds interesting.
Yes. So a feminist artist went on trial Monday in this. I got this a few weeks ago, so this was, you know, whatever Monday that might have been. But so she went on trial on charges of disseminating pornography after she shared artwork online depicting female bodies. And human rights groups linked her to prosecutions to the conservative stance promoting traditional family values. So apparently in Russia, you're not allowed to post naked bodies on the internet, even if it's
art,
clay, or I don't know if she was painting a picture or something, but yeah. It wasn't an actual female body. It was something that she drew or painted or sculpted.
Oh, interesting. So it wasn't like a photo or a video.
No, it was art. Yeah, she
some
wasn't.
Other, like a yeah. painting or something. Wow.
So even that.
wait, can
now
we do harmony?
Stereo.
One, two, three.
Wow.
Okay, I just want to see if we could kind of harmonize there a little bit. It was a poor harmonization, but whatever.
Nice try.
I've heard better.
Yeah, I've done
that.
The
first one was spot on, though.
There's no laws against being homosexual, but there are laws against talking about it. Because it's this same thing where you're propagating non-traditional family values. So, I mean, if you project your being in favor of, like, a homosexual couple having a child, like, that will put you in jail in Russia.
This sounds a lot like the conservative Christians here in the United States as well.
That is exactly what it sounds
Maybe
like.
Maybe they should go to Russia.
Yeah, it turns out Russia, Texas, rather similar.
Oh.
Except for the weather.
Okay. And I don't think Texas ever had gulags. Although they have plenty of prisons now, and the United States now imprisons more people than the gulags ever even thought of. So,
well, just wait till we get those FEMA camps working.
Yeah.
I mean, we have them. We're just not using them yet.
Is there more to this?
There is. So the charges against her in the far eastern city of, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that, have brought international outrage. She faces up to 6 years in prison on charges reportedly related to her group on the popular Russian social media platform, where stylized drawings of vaginas were posted. She is not allowed to disclose details of the criminal case against her.
You were bringing up, art, artists getting in trouble from evil big government, which I agree, all authority and all government is evil. I'm a libertarian, too. People getting in trouble for art and drawings and pictures, and that just resonated with me because I have that actually happened to me last year.
Really? What happened?
Well, it's kind of an ironic story. It's like the last thing you'd expect, but like I said, I'm a libertarian and I was at a libertarian conference and I brought with me all my artwork that like I wanted to express. And it was just me. It was just artwork or drawings of me killing pedophiles and, other types of libertarians, and the libertarians called the cops on me. They called evil big government on me because I was against pedophilia and against LGBT and against all that stuff that destroys society and promotes obscenity. And
what kind of art was it? Was it what medium was it in?
Oh, it was all kinds. It was like drawing, artwork, film.
The United States Postal Service just delivered a letter from an American soldier in Germany. Problem is, it was 76 years later. 76 years later.
So when I tell you the check's in the mail,
you can expect it anytime.
Just wait a while.
Between now and 76 years later.
I'm surprised it even found the person that it was supposed to go to. Like, they didn't move, they're still alive.
Well, there's a bit of that in the article that'll answer your curiosities there. But I'm just thinking to myself, where does a letter, they show a picture of it here in this article, and it's just, like a standard size letter envelope of the time, right? It's the more square one than the rectangle one. And it's handwritten, obviously, and it's got a 6-cent stamp on it. And you could tell it's, ancient, so to speak.
Thanks for the inflation reminder there, by the way.
Yeah.
Right.
A bunch of people don't even live 76 years, much less, get a letter delivered to them 76 years late. We'll get into the article in just a second, but where has this letter been?
Where was it hiding?
Behind the fridge here? What exactly?
76 years? Like, it's not like it was stuck in the back of a truck. The letter ended up in the hands of John's wife, also named Angelina, but goes by Jean, recently. And so, she's happy, of course, to have the letter.
It is kind of cute.
She's like,
you get past the, inability of the post office, then it's kind of cute.
Yeah, this article is written as sort of a feel-good story. Like, oh, it's a flashback from the past. Like, oh, we're so...
It'd have been nice if it was the same generation or the one after when it was intended to get there that it had gotten there. But,
Yeah.
It's quaint.
And, it's like stuff that kids won't see today. It's written in cursive. The paper is not lined at all. But it's got... the 2nd Armed Division, December 6, 1945, Bad Orb on the top right, and then it's got like paragraph indentation, stuff that...
Yeah, I'm actually shocked at how good of condition this letter is still in. I mean, it looks like he literally just wrote it. It does not look like it is 70 plus years old.
Yeah. Gonsalves says she phoned Stoll to thank him for forwarding the letter. She was told that the U.S. Postal Service has no idea how it ended up in Pittsburgh after more than 7 decades. They're just not sure what happened, and I guess it really doesn't matter, she said. I'm just so happy to have it. I would have been 13 when John wrote it. So Yeah. They just don't know. We flaked. We don't know. We
but
flaked.
But couldn't they have... Don't they have ways to trace that, though? Because if it just appeared in Pittsburgh, you know, it had to have been sent from a different facility or somebody dropped it off. Like, you would think that they would be able to trace
some
that.
Some kind of paper trail.
Yeah.
They obviously don't give a crap.
Yeah, I mean, even as a bureaucracy, they're terrible.
And while if I'm this lady and I'm 89 and I get this, you know, thing that's 76 years old, I also might be a little happy about it. And then also somebody doing an article about it, I would, oh, that's weird. I could tell the world about my story and all that stuff. However, I would still be upset at the post office for delivering this thing 76 years later.
Yeah, I mean, his mother, who it was intended for his mother, and she never got to read it. Yes, he came home from the war, and she, you know, she could hug him and everything, but what if he didn't? What if he never came home from the war, and then his mother never got that last letter from him?
A drive-through window saved his business, but now he's being forced to shut it down. Zoning officials concede Robert Baltierra's drive-through window isn't causing any problems, but they say it's a code violation and he has to close anyway.
Makes no sense.
When public health orders closed his restaurant's doors, Robert Baltierra's opened a window. Now city zoning officials are closing that too. For the past 13 years, Baltierra's has owned and operated the Mexican restaurant Taco Boy from its current location on a corner of busy Mission Street in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. When the pandemic hit in 2020, Taco Boy, like all food and drink establishments in Michigan, were required by the state to shut down the dining room that brought in almost all of its revenue. In response, Baltierra has decided to open up a dormant drive-through window that had come with the building and had been used by its previous occupants, a pharmacy and a restaurant. This facilitated enough takeaway orders to keep Taco Boy, a 50-year-old business Baltierra has inherited from his father, on its feet during the worst of COVID-19. At issue is a provision in Mount Pleasant's zoning code mandated by state law that drive-thrus must have a minimum of 200 feet of stacking space. That's how many cars can fit into the drive-thru at a time without impeding either on-site movement of vehicles or access to the property from the street. Because those 200 feet extend into Taco Boy's parking lot, city staff says it interferes with the on-site movement of vehicles and thus has to go.
But at one point, somebody was using a drive-thru window there.
Two businesses before his were using.
So,
because those 200, how we said that, Baltierra's argues he's being singled out, as neighboring businesses with drive-thrus that also aren't up to code are allowed to operate unmolested. And that's the proper terminology I would use. He also argues that his drive-thru hasn't generated any complaints or issues for surrounding property owners. The city doesn't disagree with Baltierra's on the latter point. A report prepared by city staff on Baltierra's drive-thru notes, there have been no complaints regarding traffic coming or going from the site or issues associated with noise with adjoining properties.
I wanted to see what your guys' take was on the Federal Reserve as a private organization, what you guys think about that, and then also what you think the Federal Reserve should be doing and what you think they will do for the inflation that's happening right now. And then finally, your thoughts on
I don't know if I can handle three parts of the question. So let's take them one at a time. What was the first part? What do we think of the Federal Reserve being a private entity? Is that right?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so the whole.
Yeah, there's, and we'll just go around. There's nothing federal about the Federal Reserve. It doesn't have anything in reserves. So it is a private entity, technically speaking, but its ties to governments, not just our own, should be done away with, in my opinion.
Well, that used to be true for over a century, but there was this, in the absolute tidal wave of legislation that happened during the COVID emergency. One of the things that happened was that the Federal Reserve was actually put under the direct jurisdiction of the Treasury.
So it is now
a federal entity. And that's right. We have entered socialism. Like, we are technically socialist in that the government controls the printing and distribution of money.
What are your guys' thoughts on transferring over, on crypto taking over as like a main currency, like replacing the U.S. dollar? Do you think that will ever happen, or do you think the government will completely stop that from happening because it is completely against their interest?
Oh boy, I hope so. I hope so. The United States dollar, the USD, is operated by the Federal Reserve, is money of the government cartel. Right, it's money of evil. Right, stuff like what was the I don't know what they're calling it now. The Facebook coin used to be called Libra. That would be money for the corporations, right? So kind of a step in the right direction, but Whereas stuff like Bitcoin Cash, Monero, all these cryptocurrencies, that's money of the people, and it's going to be up to the people to make it so. And that is, take it upon yourself to get a wallet and start transacting in crypto, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the Federal Reserve is concerned, and even, the Treasury Department or any of that, they're not going to help.
A red light camera program?
What do you mean by program?
Red light cameras that they have in different cities, I think a lot of cities still do have it.
Yep.
But yeah, the thing is that my point is that if it was run under a communist system, communist format, people would accept the idea of red light cameras more.
Can you tell me, Sarah? Can you tell me, Sarah, what is not communist about red light cameras currently?
Right now, well, here in New Mexico, someone. Proceeds will go, they profit, they capitalize on the red light camera tickets. So in other words, Netflix, I don't know how much they make, but they get a portion of that ticket. So the whole thing,
did you say Netflix gets a portion of the proceeds?
Redflix, R-E-D, they're out of Australia. But they have a satellite company in Arizona, Redflix company.
Okay, this is the company who provides the cameras, right?
Right, they manufacture it, they run it, and they make the money.
Incentive, it doesn't exist under the style known as communism. I mean, incentive exists in whatever state government is in control. They have the incentive to crack the whip and make people do all sorts of things they don't want to do. That's the only incentive that exists. Whereas in a market-based society, incentive is just about, what do you want? Oh, can you have it your way? You can. If I wanted the chair...
And you make the compromise that you have to make in order to get your life to work properly.
If I wanted to get a chair from Sarah, but I needed it to be like wider than the last chair that she made because, I'm a large dude, right? I couldn't get that in a free market. Whereas under communism, I'd have to just suffer with the same exact size chair.
Well, under communism, you would be starving, so you would fit in the original chair, Captain.
Oh, yeah, that's
a
good point. That's
true, because everyone has an equal right to the land, regardless of whether they're any good at actually making it produce food.
About 7 years ago, plus or minus, I called the greatest listenership program that I thought I could get on. I called Mark Levin's program, and I publicly withdrew my consent to the United States government prescribed in the Declaration of Independence, where they draw their just powers, and they're not exercising them justly.
Okay.
But they draw their just powers from the consent of the governed. And so if every single one of us, according to the Declaration, well, not even every single one of us, just a number of us sufficient for the cause were to declare that we withdraw our consent, then that's part of abolishing and reforming a more suitable, to use the Declaration's language, a more suitable government.
David, so anyway, I do have a question. How do I withdraw consent which I never gave in the first place?
By transference, you have the power. Whether you personally gave consent in the first place or not, you have the power under law to withdraw it.
Nikki, you have something you wanted to share about midwifery and a bill out of New Hampshire?
Yes.
Go ahead.
So it is House Bill 1061, and it is going to be brought to the committee on January 20th at 1 p.m. So that is right before the New Hampshire Independence Bill is going to be brought in front of.
4 days, so Thursday?
So, yes, on Thursday, and it's going to be in Concord at the Legislature Office Building, I believe it's called.
Yes.
Yes, so that's where they do things like this. But this bill in particular will make it so the Midwifery Council is an advisory board to the Executive Director of the Office of Professional Legislature and Certification. So as of right now, the Midwifery Council has control over all things midwifery in the state of New Hampshire.
Ew.
So that would be, I know, it's not great, but it would be even worse if the OPLC had control of it, because this person knows absolutely nothing about midwifery, and this bill would also put, so right now the council is compromised of midwives.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense, right? What I would like to see done, which, you know, is going to take some time to formulate, but I think that we should get rid of the council altogether. We should get rid of licensure of midwives in the state of New Hampshire. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but we should make it more like Massachusetts, where there's no licensure, where there are no regulations regarding, or very minimal regulations regarding home birth, and that women have the freedom to have the birth that they desire with the healthcare professional that they desire. And there are no hurdles for anyone to jump over to achieve that goal.
The government should have no hand in any of this.
Exactly. And it's embarrassing that Massachusetts is putting New Hampshire to shame as far as these regulations go. Like, it really is. In Massachusetts, there is so much more freedom regarding midwifery and home birth, and that's embarrassing.
Yeah, especially for the live free or die
state. Yeah, you should be embarrassed, New Hampshire, and let's do something about it.
I just wanted to go back to your question about, you know, the different systems, communism, socialism, and capitalism. And actually, I lived in Germany most recently for about 20 years until I moved here to Charleston, South Carolina, about almost 17 years ago.
Okay.
And we had a system in Germany whereby we had a combination of all three. Actually, we have that here as well, but they're just a little bit differently adjusted. For example, we have the church, for example, the Catholic Church, which is actually an independent country. It's called the Vatican, and it's a communistic system. It's, I think, the oldest government in the world right now. So it does show that does work. And
well, religion absolutely is the oldest government in the world, but go on.
Okay, then we have socialism. Germany operates under what it calls itself democratic socialism, Sozialdemokratie to be exact, is what Angela Merkel refers to as, and she's very proud of it, by the way. And it seems to work very well. Everybody seems to be very happy with it. And then, of course, the next system would be, for example, free market economy without too many restrictions, which Germany also operates under. For example, 70% of Germany's wealth is created by international business, which is capital.
Well, I'll stop you right there, David. You understand that you cannot have a free market economy with any restrictions. I would love for there be an actual free market, but currently the only free market in existence is what's known as the black market.
I see. I got the impression that the black market was kind of illegal.
It is, but it's also free.
Yeah, I mean, what is legal is whatever a government determines to be legal. It doesn't matter if it is a good thing or an evil thing. It matters what that government determines. Now, I really did want to pry as far as the communist system that apparently exists in Germany. Like, I mean, I do get that Vatican City is its own country.
Like sovereign entity.
Yeah, it is. It's a very strange country, too, because it's a monarchy, oddly enough. But not in the traditional sense where you have, like, you know, children and what have you. But what does the Catholic Church have to do with the governing of Germany?
Germany, yeah, good question. David?
Well, there it has a lot going on in Germany. It's one of the two major religions in Germany. Judaism is also exists there, and so also does Islam. But Catholicism and Lutheranism are the two main religions. They used to be the ones also, by the way, or if you lived there, they would ask you until the year 2000 or so, or 2002.
But it doesn't wield any force there, right?
I wanted to talk about the letter that took, 76 years to get delivered?
76 years! We were, during the break, we were lamenting, where was this letter? The only thing that my imagination could come up with was that there's some sort of postal equipment that over the years had to be changed out. And somehow this letter, like, fell into, you know, a crack of this old postal equipment. They moved it into a room or storage somewhere and replaced it with new equipment. And then years later, they're like, oh, we should get rid of this old equipment, recycle it, whatever it is. And when they went to move it, this letter fell out. And, you know, somebody was like, whoa, well, here, you guys should probably deliver this.
Yeah, that is our least sci-fi explanation for this.
What do you think?
I have three things to say about that, but then I really, really want to address the midwifery thing,
okay,
too. So the first thing, actually, it was in September of 2020 in Michigan, they had a postcard that was delivered 100 years. It was 100 years exactly, 100 years late. What they think happened with that was that you can find and buy old postcards in, like, garage sales and antique shops. So they think somebody found one and as a joke put it in the mail slot to see what would happen, and it got delivered. Could I address the midwifery issue?
Yes, please, ahead, please do.
It's not really about midwifery necessarily, but I was reading about in the 1970s there were women's groups, especially in California, and they would do something really cool called menstrual extraction using a really simple device. Once a month, you could have your period for one day. They would just suck out the contents once a month, and it was something that you would, like, have. It was like a friends group. It wasn't like a medical group. So you, like, I don't know if it was a doula or not, but they would show women how to do this, and then they would, like, do this as like a service to their friends. And I just think that would be super awesome if that came back, not only because, you know, periods are really painful, but also because abortions are getting more and more regulated. And that would be a way to catch it early without anyone even knowing. Like in Bangladesh, that's what they use. They just don't take a pregnancy test. And if you just don't want to get pregnant, that way, you don't ask, don't tell. So I just thought that was really interesting. I wish someone would bring back menstrual extraction.
So I don't want to get, like, super midwifey on everybody and, like, rant about this, but there are several reasons why having a menstrual cycle is really good. And people talk about, like, painful periods and stuff all the time. And really, they're not supposed to be painful and uncomfortable. It's really due to hormonal imbalances in the body.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.